Engaging presentations on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
Well, good morning, friends. Father Frank Pavone here, National Director of Priests for Life. I have a very, very stirring video for you to see here this morning. I want to watch it together. This unfolded over recent days in the House of Representatives over the protection of babies born alive after a failed abortion. And you're going to see the contrast between the Republicans and the Democrats. But before we do that, let's say a word of prayer taken from my book, Pro-Life Reflections for Every Day. The quote today is from John Paul II's document, The Gospel of Life, number 58. Words cannot escape the reality of things. Procured abortion is the direct and deliberate killing of a human being. Reflection. In discussing abortion, its supporters never defend the act itself, but only the alleged right of someone to do it. They focus on the freedom to choose it, but avoid describing what is being chosen. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit of truth, give us grace to always face truth honestly and enable us to challenge those who would evade it. Amen. Well, what I'm about to show you from the floor of the House of Representatives is an example of this evasion on the part of those who support abortion. The Democratic Party has in its platform unfettered support for abortion, but now we see it also overflowing into a failure, a refusal to even protect babies who might survive an abortion, because that sometimes happens. And Congress wants to pass a law saying that if a baby is born alive after an abortion attempt, that that baby be taken to a hospital and be cared for. Is there really any reason to be opposed to that? What has been happening in the Democrat-controlled House of Representatives is that the Republicans are trying to get the House to vote on this bill. It's called the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. It was voted on in the last Congress. Just about all the Democrats voted against it. Now that the Democrats control the House, they don't even want to have the vote to begin with. Watch these exchanges now, because what's happening is each day in the process, in the procedures of the House, a Republican representative gets up, pro-life, and says, I would like to introduce and get the House to vote on this particular measure. And you'll see the resistance, the stalling, the unwillingness of the Democrats to do this. Let's take a look.
For what purpose does a gentleman from California seek recognition?
Madam Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the Committee on Judiciary be discharged from further consideration of H.R. 962, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, and ask for immediate consideration to the House.
Under guidelines consistently issued by successive speakers, as recorded in Section 956 of the House Rules and Manual, the chair is constrained not to entertain the request unless it has been cleared by the bipartisan floor and committee leaderships.
Parliamentary inquiry.
No, the gentleman, please state your inquiry.
Madam Speaker, I can assure you there are no objections on the Republican side. Is the chair saying that the Democrat leadership has not cleared this important legislation that can protect children who have been born alive?
Unanimous consent request for the consideration of that measure would have to have received clearance by the majority and minority floor and committee leaderships. The chair is unaware of such clearance. Therefore, the chair cannot entertain that request at this time.
Further parliamentary inquiry.
State your inquiry.
Madam Speaker, as I said, there is no objections on the Republican side, and it is just 2 p.m. on a Wednesday. Is the chair saying there is not enough time left today to consider this bill that would save lives of a child who was born alive?
The gentleman has not stated a parliamentary inquiry.
No further inquiries.
And I ask for its immediate consideration in the House. Under guidelines consistently issued by successive speakers, as recorded in Section 956 of the House Rules and Manual, the chair is constrained not to entertain the request unless it has been cleared by the bipartisan floor and committee leaderships.
A parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Speaker.
The gentleman will stake his inquiry.
Now, I understand the guidelines you decided, Mr. Speaker, but seeing no objection from either side of the House, would that constitute clearance and allow the chair to entertain my motion under the rules of the House?
A unanimous consent request for the consideration of that measure would have to be received clearance by the majority and the minority floor and committee leadership. The chair is unaware of such clearance. Therefore, the chair cannot entertain that request at this time.
Further parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Speaker.
Inquiry.
Again, seeing no objection on either side of the aisle, Mr. Speaker, can the chair advise what is required pursuant to Section 956 of the House rules to allow my motion to be considered?
The chair would have to be made aware of such clearance.
So, Mr. Speaker, is there any guidance under Section 956 of the House rules to have that motion be in order?
Again, the chair has not been made aware of the requisite clearance.
Mr. Speaker, can the ruling of the chair be challenged?
The chair has not ruled.
Mr. Speaker, I ask the chair to rule on the motion of unanimous consent.
The gentleman was not recognized for that unanimous consent.
So, Mr. Speaker,
the request cannot be entertained.
So, Mr. Speaker, is there a motion that can be made under the rules that have been cited to allow for the immediate consideration of H.R. 962?
The chair would not issue an advisory opinion on that request.
Mr. Speaker, if this unanimous consent request can't be entertained, I would urge the Speaker and the Majority Leader to schedule the Born Alive bill immediately so we can stand up and protect the sanctity of human life. And I would ask all others to join in that request. And I yield back.
The gentleman has not been recognized for debate.
Yield back, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentlewoman from Missouri rise?
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the Committee on Judiciary be discharged from further consideration of my bill, H.R. 962, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, and I ask for its immediate consideration in the House.
The gentlelady is advised that under guidelines consistently issued by successive speakers, as recorded in Section 956 of the House Rules and Manual, the chair is constrained not to entertain the request unless it has been cleared by the bipartisan floor and committee leaderships.
Parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Speaker.
Please state your parliamentary inquiry.
I understand the guidelines you just cited, Mr. Speaker. However, seeing no objection from leadership or committee members on either side of the aisle, does that constitute clearance and allow the chair to entertain my motion under the rules of the House?
As previously stated, the request cannot be entertained absent appropriate clearance.
Further parliamentary inquiry, Mr. Speaker, please.
Please state your inquiry.
Again, seeing no objection on either side of the aisle, can the chair advise what is required pursuant to Section 956 of the House rules to allow my motion for discharge of the Born Alive Act to be considered?
It is advised that a unanimous consent request for the consideration of that measure would have to receive clearance from the majority and the minority floor and committee leaderships.
Can the ruling of the chair be challenged?
The chair has yet to rule on the request.
I ask the chair to rule on the motion of unanimous consent.
The gentlewoman has sought unanimous consent and has not been recognized for that purpose.
Mr. Speaker, if this unanimous consent request cannot be entertained, I urge the Speaker and the Majority Leader to schedule the Born Alive Act on the floor immediately so we can stand up and defend the sanctity of life.
Gentlewoman is debating.
Passed the House in the 115th Congress.
The gentlewoman is debating. You have
support.
Not been recognized for debate.
This bill, Mr. Speaker, does not impose any restrictions.
The House. The gentlelady will cease. The gentlelady is engaging in debate. You will not engage in debate at this time. All right.
Shifting gears, I would like to ask the gentleman about a piece of legislation that we filed that we've been trying to get unanimous consent to bring up. And this is H.R. 962, a bill by my colleague Ann Wagner from Missouri. As we saw earlier in these last few days, you had the governor of New York signing legislation that, among other things, would allow for a baby that comes out of the womb alive, whether it's from an abortion that wasn't successful, whatever the case, if a baby comes out of the womb alive, the fact that in the state of New York, and now we saw the governor of Virginia talking on a radio show about how that process and procedure would be carried out where the baby, after it's born alive, can be killed legally in those states. And as we talk about the sanctity of innocent life, clearly there are many different divisions amongst the parties on the issue of abortion. But to many, this issue transcends abortion. This isn't related to abortion anymore. If a baby comes out of the womb and is alive, the fact that in only 26 states there are protections that that baby can't be killed, that means in nearly half of the states in this country, that baby still can be killed legally. I still don't completely grasp how that's legal in America, that someone who's born alive can still be killed and have that be legal in certain states. And so we have a bill called the Born Alive Act that would ensure that, regardless of how you feel about abortion, pro-life, pro-choice, after the baby comes out of the womb alive, it shouldn't be able to be killed. And H.R. 962 gives that protection that it can't be killed. And I would ask the gentleman if he would allow that bill to come to the House floor for vote. And I yield back.
For what purpose does the gentleman from North Carolina seek recognition?
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the Committee on Judiciary be discharged from further consideration of H.R. 962, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, and ask for its immediate consideration in the House.
Under guidelines consistently issued by successive speakers, as recorded in Section 956 of the House Rules and Manual, the chair is constrained not to entertain the request unless it has been cleared by the bipartisan floor and committee leaderships.
Mr. Speaker, if this unanimous consent request cannot be entertained, I urge the Speaker and the Majority Leader to immediately schedule the Born Alive bill so we can stand up and protect the sanctity of
human
life.
The gentleman has not been recognized for debate.
To join in that request.
For what purpose does the gentlewoman from Indiana seek recognition?
Mr. Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the Committee on Judiciary be discharged from further consideration of H.R. 962, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, and ask for its immediate consideration in the House.
The gentlelady is advised that under guidelines consistently issued by successive speakers, as recorded in Section 956 of the House Rules and Manual, the chair is constrained not to entertain the request unless it has been cleared by the bipartisan floor and committee leaderships.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose does the gentleman from California seek recognition?
Madam Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the Committee on Judiciary be discharged from further consideration of H.R. 962, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act, and ask for immediate consideration to the House.
Under guidelines consistently issued by successive speakers, as recorded in Section 956 of the House Rules and Manual, The chair is constrained not to entertain the request unless it has been cleared by the bipartisan floor and committee leaderships.
Parliamentary inquiry.
For what purpose does the gentleman from California seek recognition?
Madam Speaker, I ask unanimous consent that the Committee on Judiciary be discharged from further consideration of H.R. 962, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection
Act. Brothers and sisters, did you see that? And this is going to continue to happen. Day after day, the Republican pro-life members of the House are committed to shedding light on this particular bill and to insisting that it be voted on. And you notice how the Democratic representatives that were chairing the various sessions, they've been just responding like robots. We are constrained from doing this. It's like all of a sudden they're not human beings. And if it requires, as they're saying, the consent of committee leadership, well, where are those committee leaders and what's the matter with them? They don't want to even have a vote on a bill. First of all, why would there even need to be a bill like this? Why would there even need to be a vote? Why would anybody be opposed to protecting babies who are born alive outside their mother's body? What's going on here? And yet you see it, you saw it in those just over recent days, in those clips that we just watched. What is going on here? Now, Laura is saying, I'm a Democrat and devout Catholic, but I am pro-life. Many, many of you are. Absolutely, Laura. I meet people across the country, many of the supporters of Priests for Life identify themselves as a Democrat. And she goes on to say, just because someone is either Democrat or Republican doesn't necessarily mean one agrees with all they stand for. Exactly, and that's what we're saying. Those of you who do identify as Democrats, please let your voices be heard within that party. Speak to your representatives. Speak to the leadership of the party. Speak to the general public. We need your voices, though, because most of the American people including in the Democratic Party, are not in favor of late-term abortion. Many are not in favor of abortion at all, just like you said, Laura, you're pro-life. And certainly, most are opposed to killing babies that are actually born alive. Now, Laura, even though what you say is true, that belonging to a party doesn't necessarily mean you agree with everything the party stands for, the fact of the matter is, if you look at the behavior of Congress, if you look at the votes that have been taken on abortion-related bills, it splits down right along party lines with only a handful of exceptions. Dan Lipinski from Illinois is a pro-life Democrat in the House of Representatives. There are two others that vote much of the time with him on pro-life matters. But that's it. Sometimes on one or another particular bill, you'll have a couple of others. But if you look at how these votes are lining up, you see that the Republicans vote pro-life, the Democrats vote pro-abortion. And Congress after Congress, bill after bill, both in the House and in the Senate, you see this party split. And so this does not have to be the case, which is really part of what you're saying. This does not have to be the case. And if one is a human being, my goodness, what isn't there a certain point at which your humanity, your common human decency, transcends any kind of party loyalty or any kind of politics, and you say, well, we got to protect these babies. And yet you saw what happened in those clips. Please watch them again. Share them. Get them out everywhere. We're at a moment now where this has got to be some kind of a crossroads in our country, because people have to, either we have to get these bills through and protect these children, or people have got to realize what's going on here, how the political process and the Democratic Party in particular and their leadership in Congress have been completely hijacked by the abortion industry, completely hijacked by Planned Parenthood and the other elements of the abortion lobby. And it's contrary to all human reason. It's contrary to basic human decency. It's contrary to civilization. As John Paul II said in the Gospel of Life, when the state legalizes something like this, the disintegration of the state itself has begun. Again, the words of St. John Paul II. You see what's happening before our very eyes in these debates, and these will continue day after day, and we'll bring you more about this. But when you see this happening, the disintegration of the state itself has begun. So, friends, we're going to send out another action alert about this and ask people to contact their representatives in the House of Representatives. If your representative is Republican, encourage him or her to continue to stand firm, to keep introducing this bill, the Born Alive Abortion Survivors Protection Act. If your representative in the House of Representatives is Democrat, challenge him or her. Are you or are you not going to support this bill protecting babies born alive? This is what we need to do right now. We're going to send out a fax today to all the churches across America, urging the pastors to wake up their people about this. Talk to your pastor too. And the website that we've set up for people to take action on all these things is exposeabortion.com. Exposeabortion.com. Okay. So thanks, friends. I'm going to get on with the work of the day, and we'll talk to you again this evening. Father Frank Pavone here of Priests for Life. And now may the Lord send you his blessing and make you strong advocates for the children, especially those yet in the womb. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I see the note from Rogers, Arkansas. Hi to all our friends out there in Arkansas. I hope to be back to your state soon in the midst of all my travels. Okay, friends, God bless you all. Talk to you soon. But you know
what? This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.